going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
On a Monday.
Happy Monday, guys.
It's not even a Thursday. Friday's a long way away.
I heard I triggered the you people.
Uh-oh. They'll be all right.
Can I just say this?
A little wild in there.
Can I just say this? Hi. My name is Hugh. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings.
Everyone will be all right.
I'm sorry I hurt your feelings.
And by the way, all the people were like, Kyle, say this. Kyle, say that. No.
I'm sorry.
Everyone's going to have their own thing.
Leave me the hell alone.
Hey, listen, I am the drunk. I'm looking at right at the camera. Look, I'm the drunk uncle at the barbecue. Sometimes we got to have these uncomfortable conversations. Mm-hmm. Y'all need to get out y'all feelings, man, because, I mean, this ain't Major League Buddies. Like you say, this ain't Major League Buddies.
Finally you say it. After all these years of us telling you this is not Major League Buddies.
Y'all will be, you're a little butthurt right now. You'll be all right. It's only Monday. We got a whole week. Just buckle up.
Yeah, well, there's a lot going on, that's for sure. 215-590-9494. For buckle up for a week. And
I tried to tell you when we came in this morning. I asked you.
If you thought it was going to be a calm week around here, you thought wrong.
Do y'all really want to go here? I said, hey, yeah. I'm cool with it.
Well, you know me. Do I really want to go to this topic? Yes, it's a good one. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. And I wasn't for drafting Shadur. I didn't think the Eagles should do it. I thought they were going to. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all the Shadur stuff. And did you think the Eagles should have taken him? I think the Browns jumped the Eagles because they knew the Eagles were going to take him. But Hugh, as we went through the draft here, right? And we'll react more as the show goes on to some of the guys they did actually take. We know they didn't actually take Shadur Sanders. But you look at the Eagles draft, right? You see a linebacker, Jahad Campbell. Mm-hmm. You see safety, Andrew Mukuba. Defensive tackle, Ty Robinson. The corner, Mack McWilliams. He was the one taken right after Shadur. The Mondon Jr., the linebacker, Drew Kendall. McCord, the quarterback. Hinton, the offensive tackle. Williams, the offensive tackle. And Edge, Powell Ryland. You notice I didn't say a certain position? You notice there was no tight end?
Tight ends.
None.
They're just trying to figure out what they're going to do with Dallas.
Well, yeah, he's still here.
Sorry, by the way.
Yeah.
What happened?
With the Mason Taylor. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm all right, man. I am, because I thought about it this weekend.
Because you're going up to Jets camp for a practice. Don't lie to
everybody.
He's
about to return to his roots.
I know.
I mean, that might happen.
He's going to get a free sweatshirt, see his old friend Aaron Glenn, and say, hey, Mason, how's your hands?
I'm not going to do that. It doesn't, you know. I thought about it hard, long and hard this weekend, man.
Yeah, you'll be there.
Long and hard, yep.
When I said it, I was like, damn, I can't believe I said
that. Could you imagine how
that
Mason Taylor would feel if, like, Hugh Dawgs is up there, like, trying to start a conversation with him? He's like, what are you talking to me for?
I'm not going to do that. I was going to go regardless. I'm going up there because, you know. I'm trying to get back. You know, I mean, you can't forget where you came.
You're trying to get a free hoodie. I mean, come on.
He said I wasn't. No matter, everything you're talking about, I never denied.
Yeah, you didn't.
But as far as the auntie is concerned, I don't think that ship is sailed.
Okay, well,
she's out of my league, man. I thought I'd never say that, but she, you know,
really?
Did you see her podcast? What she's talking about?
Well, I didn't listen, but I saw a headline. Yeah, that's a
every
lot.
Day. Every day, Joe. Hey, I'm too old for that now.
Okay,
like, listen.
Are you?
Hey, listen, I give it the whole college try, but let's be realistic.
At least you're being honest about yourself.
Listen, I like my naps. I like to take naps. She's Energizer Bunny. Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah, and as we found out on Friday, back to back at this age is as easy
back
as you speak. It's not what it used to be.
Back to back.
All right, so we know also with all this, Mason Taylor goes to the Jets. Fannin Jr., that was the kid from Bowling Green.
And yes, people liked him.
He went to the Browns, which actually is where Shadur is. Bring it all together. And then in the first round, Loveland went to the Bears, and Warren went to the Colts. So, Hugh, a lot of the tight ends started flying off the board around the second round. The Rams got one, and then by the time the Eagles got on the board again, they didn't take one, and they didn't take one the whole draft. Let's hear Howie Roseman on not addressing a tight end position this weekend.
Why'd you end up with a tight end, and what kind of factored into how that laid out?
Yeah, again, just trying to be as true as we could to the board. You know, every time that we had the opportunity to pick, we were looking at the board and really trying to reflect what that worked to put those grades in really should be reflected in the outcome. So we didn't want to kind of drop down at some points. There were some points where it was, close, but it was never at the time we were selecting the best player.
All right, so Howie gives you the GM speak, the best player, board, all that kind of stuff. But here's the issue. If they're not going to keep Goddard, and it doesn't seem like they're going to, although he's still here, well, they didn't get a tight end, right? All we have is Calcaterra. So let's hear Howie on the Goddard situation. Because they didn't draft one, could Goddard come back? Here's Howie and the way he spoke about Goddard the other day.
You know, Dallas is part of the team, as we speak. Obviously, as we go forward, we're going to continue to address things on this team. And right now, nothing further. Dallas is a heck of a player, heck of a person. Certainly don't want to do anything publicly where we're discussing anyone's business, but have so much respect for him. Been to two Super Bowls together and obviously would love him on this team. You always love having Dallas on this team, but we're not there right now on any of that. But
Hugh, trying to get that money right, trying to figure it out.
What's so fascinating about the way he speaks about him is as if he's not under contract. He's on the team. Like, he talks about him like they hope to figure this out. He's on the football team right now.
Well, he's being as transparent as you can. There's a money issue.
Totally.
That they would like to resolve. I'm not a capologist, but you could extend him and bring his cap number down.
You could, yep.
But I don't think they want to do that. I think that
they want to take a pay cut.
Yeah, and I don't think Dallas wants to take a pay cut. And they want him to be here. Right now, I feel like Dallas has all the power. Like, they obviously don't want to give him extended years, but they don't want to cut him either.
So I actually see a little different. I think they're doing him dirty. The longer they hold on to him, so they just went through free agency where they didn't let him into free agency, right? Mm-hmm. So teams used their money. Mm-hmm. Now the whole draft went by. The Browns drafted a tight end. The Colts drafted a tight end. The Bears drafted a tight end. So all those spots are gone now, right?
Yeah, you're looking at it from if they cut him.
They're squeezing him. So if they just hold him, right, and we get to June, how many teams are desperate for a tight end in June that will pay him more than them? So my view is they're squeezing him until he just says, all right, I got no other options. No team will pay me more. I'll just take your pay cut. I think they're squeezing this guy.
Yeah, but if he stands on business, it still puts the Eagles in a bad spot, because if they cut him,
then they don't have a tight end.
They don't have a tight end, and he could go. Somebody will probably sign him.
But for more than he'll get here?
Well, now it's the principality situation. It's the principality, Smokey. It's more like, do I go back to the Eagles after knowing what they just did to me, or do I just go somewhere else?
Right.
You might not get the money that you want, but it might be just – on principle.
It reminds me a lot of what they did this to Ertz at the end, and then they brought him into the next season. I think he came into training camp with bleach blonde hair. It was a really odd thing.
He was rebelling.
Last Ertz year here was weird.
Raging against the machine.
Yeah, and then he didn't seem happy, and then they traded him at the deadline that year after a Thursday night game to the Arizona Cardinals, and he's played four or five more years and is still a good player. But I just feel like without a tight end in the draft, it's harder on Howie to just cut him.
It is harder. But hopefully, I don't know. I would think that they would at least be having some type of conversation with him to let him know what they're thinking.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we started together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And you don't say nothing about a guy like that. You don't give him a glowing endorsement and then, you know, do him dirty on the back end. I don't see that.
I still want him here. I haven't changed my mind the whole time. And, Hugh, if they had drafted the Fannin kid or Mason Taylor.
Then it makes more sense.
Yeah, of course. Then you're like, okay, you got the next guy. You can move on. I don't view Calcaterra that way. 215-592-9494. Your thought on the Goddard situation. Eagles don't draft a tight end. For all the good things they did in this draft, and we'll talk more about the class coming up, Hugh, they didn't get a tight end. And they didn't get any sort of interior offensive lineman. Now, maybe one of these tackles can play inside, but that guard position, you know, they lost Becton. And now what do we have? Steen and the Kenyon Green
and there's
kid?
Still some moves that can be made. Yeah. You're going to probably bring some young cats in that didn't get drafted.
Undrafted
undrafted guys. So there's still some moves to be made. And then, as you know, when training camp comes around or we go through this process, guys will be cut, and they'll probably pick somebody up. So they're just waiting to see.
Those are the two spots, though, that I expected them to draft something, guard and tight end, and they didn't do either. Bruce is in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Kyle, Joe, Hugh, and the crew.
What's going on,
Bruce?
Man?
Bruce!
All right. What's going on? Hugh, look, you know what? I got to thank you for some clarity on this whole thing with Sanders, because – you said some things about Johnny Manziel and other quarterbacks that I did not think about, because my first take was initially that it was all a buffoonery between him and his dad that cost him. Now that is definitely true, but then there's the racial component. I think that some of that is in place. No, we're gonna put you in your place and we're gonna show you, because this was epidemic, as this has never happened before, and it was a power move, and I think that there is some of that. That same standard was not applied to him. Anytime you had somebody running from the cops, but he still got drafted, you know, there's something wrong with that. So, but with that said, I think the big lesson with the whole Sanders thing is that number one, they made mistakes on projecting his confidence, and they made mistakes on it made it look like they were shunning the process. You didn't play any games in these
all of that.
Yep.
All of that, Bruce.
So there was a number of that, but let's not forget the racial piece. There's a tinge to that when you do that comparison and contrast. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, you know,
for
I think we I think we found out, Bruce, and this we kind of knew this anyway, but it became more clear. The NFL
Correct.
Would much rather a player have made a mistake off the field, like, I mean, potentially criminal, or just, you know, had a bad moment or two, or whatever, then they would arrogance or personality issues.
Yeah, it's like you're bigger than the game.
Right.
It's a little bit of that.
Let's not forget the irony of this. The Eagles drafted Jalen Carter. I'm not saying Jalen Carter's a bad kid, but he had an off the field. There was a moment that was obviously concerning, right? Like what he was part of.
And
was,
he still got drafted.
And because two things. One, he's a great talent, and Shadur is not. And the other part is that doesn't bother teams as much, because they figure, okay, mistake doesn't have to mean that's who you are, but I think the personality thing, people think that's who you are. The NFL, the personality, that rubs people the wrong way more than getting in trouble.
Yeah.
It does.
Oh, no, it definitely does. And I think, you know, but here's the crazy part about it, right? At first, I was like, not no, but hell no. But, you know, with the thought entered my mind yesterday that the Eagles could take him.
Yep.
And I would have been probably unhappy about it, but I would have sat back and read the tea leaves. I said, you know what? He probably would have been a good fit here, because, number one, we're a championship-caliber team. They wouldn't have put up with his daddy's foolishness. And look, you're going to sit down over here in the corner and shut up, or otherwise, or we'll treat you like Purdy and get some value out of it. Maybe if you did get some play time, and then ship you off for a draft pick. But I think what would have happened, right, if he did wind up on the team, is that he would have latched on to Jalen, and Jalen would have pulled him over to the side and did some mentoring, and it could have probably turned out to be a beautiful thing, and Deion would have been the biggest sounding board for the championship Eagles when we win that next Super Bowl. I mean, it could have turned out to be, you know, something amazing. I mean, when you really think about it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I wanted to get in a quick Phillies point, too.
Mm-hmm.
And this was about Turner over the weekend. You know, when he missed that ball and cost that pitcher, 19 extra pitches.
Yep.
You know, this is something that we need to look out going forward. I'm trying to be optimistic about the team improving, but I'm telling you, Turner's play, they're going to have to do something about that because that it's the existing, the way they, you know, allow those players to have their way when their skills are going down and they're not making any critical calls. I don't want to see too many more errors like that from Turner.
I agree.
Because it's going to eventually cost us, it's going to cost us either getting into the playoffs or a championship.
Totally. Bruce, I thought, and Bruce, good call. We always appreciate it. I thought the first couple weeks of the season, Hugh Turner had been better at shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
He's regressed here the last week or two. He had the play on, was it Friday, where he didn't get the tag down? I mean, the ball is right there. I don't know how he doesn't tag the guy. Then Saturday, he was a disaster in the field. He is not a very good defensive shortstop. We've known that since the day he got here. He's got to hit a lot. If he hits a lot, we'll deal with it. But they're lucky his defense didn't cost them more this weekend. He stunk out there this weekend,
yeah,
defensively.
But when you look at the weekend as a whole, though, I mean, I think it was mostly about the pitching that we had this weekend.
Yeah, well, Nola and Luzardo were really good. Yeah, I mean, Trey's defense did not cost them the series. It just wasn't good,
though.
It's still
concerning.
Yeah, I mean, for that tag on Friday, I don't know how he doesn't get that tagged. And the ball beat the runner by 3 feet, and somehow he tags the air. Zoe in Bluebell's up. What's up, Zoe?
Yeah, good afternoon. I am I'm pulling my hair out over here because I'm a little bit crazy about everything.
Okay.
The Phillies are pretty much got me on edge every game I watch, and that's you know, I feel like we're spending so much money on Trey, we're spending so much money on Bohm. We're at a point where it's I almost feel like we got to blow it up. We got contracts we can't move. We're in a position where, like, if we just skate along and keep doing this 500 thing, we're just going to get bounced in the first round of playoffs again. So something's got to give. Hopefully they get hot. You know, you get a little bit, feel a little bit good about the pitching last night, and hopefully they'll get hot and somehow, some way, we start pulling through the increase the value of these players and then maybe be able to move them. But I don't know. But that's not the main reason why I call. I want to talk about Sanders. I truly, truly believe we should have taken him. And the main reason why is risk versus reward. It's like if you can grab him in the fourth or, you know, early fifth round, it's like, what are we really losing? You know, it's like a gamble. It's like hitting on a five-pick parlay. It's, okay, if he doesn't work out, then we ship him off. Or if there's conflict, it seems like everybody's more concerned about conflict that he may have with Jalen being there or media circuits and everything else coming in. I don't feel like that would be a problem for the Eagles. I mean, we did well with Michael Vick, and I'm sure 85% of the people didn't want us to have him.
At least, if not more.
That was very, very polarizing.
Oh, my goodness gracious,
so,
yeah.
So we can obviously handle it from that perspective, from that point of view. But I think the main reason, and I don't even know if it's a black ball, collusion, or whatever it is, but it's almost like everybody's talking through all 32 teams, and everybody kind of knew they weren't going to take him. For whatever reason, I don't know. It could go back to the Colorado. People say, oh, he's too boisterous. He's too cocky. He's too this and too that. But still a good kid. Still stayed out of trouble. Still kept good grades. No real reason why you would not want to have him on your team, especially in third, fourth, early fifth round. I think if we would have picked him up, Jalen could have been a good mentor. And if you think about it, last season, everybody was hammering Jalen the first several games of the season, maybe the first five, six games of the season. And even if it wasn't for Saquon and us running the ball, we might have hammered him the whole way through the season. So is it really that bad of a thing to have somebody who could be a capable backup there just in case?
It's not. No, theoretically, Zoe, it's not. Like,
and that's the thing.
I wanted, for the same reasons you're saying, Zoe, I wanted Milrow. Like, he was the guy I pegged as maybe that guy. And obviously the Seahawks took him in the third round. But your theory or your idea that if he could become a good player, it's a value pick. I agree with your like that thought process, and that's why I thought the Eagles were going to take him, Hugh. Like when we got to Saturday morning, I was like, they're going to take him.
Yeah, and it all looked that way, and it's so. And you're thinking about it in the right way because I think because of the climate that we're in, people always want to pick one or two things and say it's that. But the bottom line is this: the guy could play. Whether you agree with the stats or his dad was padding the stats or whatever. Good kid. Should have been taken on the at least the second day, at least the third round. And that's the thing that when people look at that, they want to point out the fact that he was arrogant or whatever. If that's the worst thing that he's done in college, it was be a little cocky. When you have guys that have done other stuff that is way worse, that's not a bad trait to have. You can tone that. You can say, hey, young buck, you need to probably tone that down just a little bit because you're coming into the NFL. You need to tone that down. But to sit there and say he didn't get drafted because he was cocky and arrogant, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy to me.
It doesn't make any sense. But you know what? Thinking about the college time that he had there, if you think about everybody who watched this, because obviously Colorado just blew up after
his dad got there.
Sure.
And you think about it, everybody at that point either loved him or they hated him.
Yeah, well, very strong opinions on the player. And that's why that's why this became the biggest story. Zoe, we appreciate the call. I think Zoe said something there, Hugh, that really there's a lot of different things going on here with this player and this situation, and it is one of the more dramatic draft falls in the history of the NFL draft.
Only time it's ever happened, Joe.
But here's where I think is what the most interesting part is, the split on what kind of player he is. Because we've seen it, you said a million times, if a player is projected like with great talent, they get like he brought up Vic. Why did the Eagles take the chance on Vic? Because Michael Vick had
he could play.
Special talent, right? And obviously his career went off the rails and he went to prison and all that stuff that we know. But he still had special talent in his body. But the point he made is a good one. If you think he had that talent, then you should just take him because it's a value pick. Half the teams, I bet, just from what I have gleaned, half the teams didn't think he was that good. So I can understand if you don't think he's that good, and there's all the 10 things, other things we mentioned, I could see why a team is like, I'm not doing
this. And that's where I try to tell everybody, it is not just one thing. It was a bunch of different things. Now, some people want to push one narrative or another. They want to push that more. But I sat back before all of this happened. And like I said, I asked people, okay, what do you think it is? And everything that I brought up in the conversation, do you think it got anything to do with his dad?
Yep.
Said yes. Do you think it has to do with his play? Some of that, yes. What about his testing? He wasn't prepared. All of that played into it. So to sit here and say that a person is wrong for thinking this way or that way, that's not right. Because everything that you can say about this kid has played a factor in this happening.
Well, and then the other thing, to go back to, you mentioned one of the things is play. Some people could point out his numbers. He put up good numbers.
Yes,
like he produced.
And he completed the football. Yeah. You could go back and go through any draft, and you can find somebody that played that position that probably didn't have a great completion rate, but they still drafted him because, again,
physical skills.
That's the one position that you're always looking for. Like somebody talked about Russell Wilson was a late-round draft pick. Russell Wilson wasn't projected to be a first-round draft pick.
No.
Somebody said, well, Tom Brady should be mad about the way he was picked. Tom Brady wasn't projected to be a number one draft pick.
His name wasn't mentioned on the broadcast until he was drafted.
Aaron Rodgers was upset because he failed in the draft, but he still went number one. Like people, don't get mad because you can't see what we're seeing. I got drafted. I know how the process works. I know for a fact that when I was going through my draft process, guys, we'll be walking down the hall and somebody say, one of the scouts say, hey, I'm from so-and-so team. We want to talk to you. And they'd be like, when are you drafting? Oh, I don't need to talk to you. You're not going to be there when I get picked.
Not you didn't
no,
say
no,
that.
No, I didn't say that. I talked to everybody named Mama.
I know, because I
came from a small school.
Right, right.
But those cats from them bigger schools, they was like, dude, you drafting 12. I'm not going to be there at 12. I ain't got to talk to you. And they would do that.
Yeah.
So
that's
to
not
sit
new.
There yeah. and say that he's being arrogant, man – everybody has done that, especially if you know you're going to be a high draft pick. That's a part of the game.
For sure. This hour on 94 WIP, fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance for your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car 94 only at Sunoco. Our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. As he fell, did you want the Eagles to draft Shedeur Sanders? We are sitting at 86%. No, 14%. Yes. All right. We'll let you hear what Howie said about all the defensive players they took. And Shiel Kapadia this morning on one of the more interesting players the Eagles took over the weekend. I like this kid. I think he's going to be a good replacement for someone we lost. 215-592-9494. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.